SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
All right, off and running in hour two of Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159. Lisi taking you through. Football is back, baby! NFL preseason action week 3. College football just 12 days away. AP Top 25 came out earlier today. We're going to be joined by current college football analyst Terry Bowden, former head coach as well. We'll break down the top 25, get coaches' takes on potentially his top five, teams that he likes, teams that he dislikes. I can tell you right now, I looked at the list, those 18 to 20, and I'll go through them. Texas A&M, Miami, and Arizona are absolutely overrated just from the hype in regards to the media. It's amazing how some of these teams just get implemented and cemented in terms of the top 25. We love to pump up programs like the Aggies, boy. When's the last time that the Aggies won a national championship? You tell me. Has it been within the last 30, 40 years? Absolutely not. And I keep going back to it. You didn't win it with Jimbo Fisher. You didn't win it with Jackie Sherrill. You certainly didn't win it with Mike Sherman, that gutless head coach back in the day with Ryan Tannehill and Ryan Swoop. Okay? And you didn't win it with R.C. Slocum. So what makes you think you're going to win it with Mike Elko? I mean, give me a break here. Can we stop? Can we pump the brakes? You didn't win it with Kevin Sumlin and the great Johnny Manziel either. So please, the pinnacle of Texas A&M football has been beating Alabama in the regular season and then winning a garbage bowl game by the likes of Duke and Johnny Manziel in like 2011. Like, can we stop? Can we pump the brakes a little bit? How about you win 11 games? You go 11-1 and you absolutely do something special. You win a college football playoff game. You get into the college football playoff berth. I mean, geez, unbelievable in terms of the expectations in College Station each and every year. It's back, baby. We're gonna spark the controversy. We're gonna poke the bear. I don't care if your juices are flowing. This is what it's all about. College football is back, 12 days away, a week and a half after this Friday. We come locked and ready with week zero picks. We are ready here on Carver and Lisi. You want to join in on the conversation? Give us a call. 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879 is the number. Top seven in regards to the baseball. This is amazing. The Cubs trailed 8-3. They were getting absolutely shellacked. Top seven now. Cubs with a runner on third, two outs. They trail 8-7 within striking distance figures because I believe this total was in the area of 8.5-9. I didn't play it. I went on about a week bender when the Cubs played, you know, the Cards and they played the Reds, and all I did was under. I was getting smashed over the face with a frying pan, and then we come right back on this Monday. I said, you know what? I'm not playing the Cubs. You know, they're dead to me. Sure enough, 7 runs for them and 8 for the Guardians. You blow right through that number. Houston and Tampa Bay, another team that's absolutely pathetic is the Rays. They could have runners on. You could give them bases loaded every inning. They'd still score 1 or 2 runs. They are that pathetic as it relates to the offense this year. Bottom 7, Rays trail 6-1. One up, bottom 5 in regards to Texas and Boston. Boston with a runner on second, 2 outs. We'll see how this plays out. That pre-total was 10.5. I believe, let me just give you the in-game number right now for Boston. It's probably like 5.5, 7.5. Wow. That, and Boston just broke through. I'm looking at it on ESPN. They're wrong. It was bases loaded for Boston. They now have a 3-1 lead. 7.5 is the total, plus 370 for the Rangers, and minus 530 for the Red Sox. So we'll keep you updated there. One other score, Dodgers breakthrough, 2-0 over the Brew Crew. You got minus 320 for the Dodgers. 7.5 is the in-game total, plus 116 to the over. Yankees trail the White Sox, 2-1, bottom three. White Sox still up, runner on first, two outs. 9.5 is the total right now. Juice to the under at minus 122. I lost the early games. I'm in on these totals. They start at 9:30, 9:40 respectively. I altered the over in Toronto and the Angels, 10.5. Altered 11.5 Rockies and Diamondbacks. And altered Pirates and San Diego. So we will keep you updated on those. The one that I'm a little suspect on is with Chris Sale on the mound for the Braves, minus 108 for Sale, and the Braves, minus 108 for the Giants. That total is 6.5, which if you follow Chris Sale and you follow the Braves, another team that struggles to get runs, typically is in the area of about 7 to 7.5, but because you have Snell and Sale on the mound, you're getting a discount with the 6.5. I mean, 6.5. 4-3, you get that number. I mean, maybe we should think about it. I'm going to have to think about this. Let me see how high 9.5 might be. I did take it in a parlay over the 6.5. 9.5, you're getting plus 350. You just need one team to break out, and maybe one of the starters is gone, and maybe you could blow through that number. 6.5 is, you know, right now minus 106. So, I mean, they're expecting this game to be really 3-1. We'll see. We'll take another look. We got a loaded show. Like I mentioned, next couple of segments, we're going to have Coach Bowden breaking down the top 25. After that, I'm going to break down with Matias some futures. Matias has some, you know, NFL questions. He's been getting his fantasy teams in order.
I'm ready to roll, Joe. Joe, I got good news, though. Joe, we got to call it right now. We got Eddie in Columbus ready to come on and ask you some questions right now, Joe.
Uh-oh, Eddie, talk to me. Let me hear Buckeye fan Will Howard taking us to the promised land.
The encyclopedia of college football. It is an honor, Joe Lisi.
How are you, Eddie? How is everything? How's Columbus treating you?
It's treating me pretty good. I got family coming in for the Akron game. That's going to be blowout city. We know it. The only question I have for you, a few of them, do they cover the 50.5? Do they do it?
Or are they going to be 50.5. I mean, listen, Eddie, Ryan Day beats up on mediocre competition all the time, right? So 50.5, obviously Will Howard, you have Quinshon Judkins. I would probably lay it in that situation just because I have no confidence in regards to whenever Ohio State plays FCS competition or a group of five in terms of that matter. So again, I would not play that game, but if you're forcing me to pick a side, Buckeyes love rolling it up on mediocre competition. You know that, so we'll see how it plays out. What else you have for me?
Okay, so I live in Columbus, Ohio now, but I'm originally from the Bronx. My brother lives back in the city. He's a big Penn State guy. I would be remiss if I didn't ask about his Nittany Lions. Do you like them to make the playoff this year? We get a ticket on them, make the playoff. What do you think?
See, the one concern, and I've been on Penn State in years past, and James Franklin has let me down. The one concern in all three of their losses, Eddie, and we could pick it up in the back end, Drew Aller in all three losses, under 50% completion percentage, not going to get it done against the likes of Ohio State, Michigan in a big spot. We'll come back. We'll talk more college football with Eddie and Coach Bowden coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah, it is that time. College football, 12 days away, August 24th. Nothing better than Hit for Bell rocking the turntables right here on Carver and Lisi. We're going to be joined by Coach Bowden in just a couple of seconds. We left off talking with a caller in regards to Eddie out there in Columbus talking some Buckeyes, and we brought up the Penn State Nittany Lions. Big fan of James Franklin. But again, you know, we talked about this, Eddie, in regards to Penn State. You know, you look at the past 10 or 12 seasons, right, just as a whole, I'd say the biggest win for potentially James Franklin came in the Big Ten championship game back in 2016 when they were deserving at that time to win the college football playoff, maybe a win on the Plains in Auburn. But outside of that, they need to step up against the likes of Michigan and Ohio State, respectively. And I'm not so sure, Drew Aller's that guy. We'll see. We'll get back to Eddie. Coach, I don't know if you heard the conversation, but the top 25 did come out. We got a lot of fans from Ohio State and Penn State joining us. Thoughts about James Franklin and this program as a whole? We know he brings physicality. We know they play defense, but offensively a little bit challenged. Do you feel Penn State can be a college football contender in 2024?
They definitely can be a contender. Now, will they be? They've never quite gotten over that hump of being a champion of the Big Ten and getting that game or two. And I go back now. Now, first of all, I'm a West by guy, Virginia. You know, I played at West Virginia, and they opened with a pretty good Mountaineer football team. I don't think West Virginia has quite the team that can beat them, but you got to get by that one, you know, and that's a big one. But I do think, one, Penn State does have the talent to be in the hunt for it. But I think somewhere along the line, they got to show they can do it. They haven't been able to win the Big Ten. They're kind of the notch above the best in that league. And so I think James Franklin's done a great job. Don't get me wrong, but it's about time they came up and stepped up and gotten that championship hunt. This is going to be a year they have the talent to do it.
Yeah, it's a perfect segue because we talked about the AP poll coming out earlier today, and you have Penn State now eighth overall, ahead of the likes of Michigan that's coming off a national championship. Granted, Jim Harbaugh with the L.A. Chargers and a ton of talent that's moved on, but I would still, on paper, put Michigan just ahead of Penn State because they were able to cultivate that talent, and they still have Donovan Edwards. And Florida State with DJU, right, veteran quarterback, there's still some talent in the cupboard for Mike Norvell. You're talking about a team 13-0 in the regular season. There's still a foundation there and an offense that potentially could challenge. What do you think about Florida State being ranked 10 overall? Because I still think they're a college football contender this season.
Yeah, but Norvell, the one thing he's shown is he's shown he can replace people with the portal. He's a great portal recruiter, and he's reloaded Florida State with outstanding talent on offense and on defense that he's brought in as well. So I do believe Florida State is going to be favored to win the ACC and make it to the college football championship. Not sure they've got the weapons to go all the way. I think, as most people in the country, I'm pretty sure the national champion's going to come out of those top four teams. I do think that's going to happen. But Florida State, I believe, is going to make it out of the ACC. What's interesting is that you've got potentially nine teams in the Big Ten and the SEC in that top 12, at least eight. You got nine in the top 10, eight in the top 10 right now. You got nine in the top 12. So I think, and it goes back to Penn State also, they've got a lot of teams in that conference that are pretty daggum good. And you got to play a great schedule in the SEC and a great schedule in the Big Ten to get yourself into that playoff.
Yeah, I agree. Now, we look at the top five. We'll take it Georgia with 46 first-place votes, Ohio State and Ryan Day with 15, Oregon with one and Dan Lanning, Texas and Alabama to round out the top five. I think it's interesting, outside the top three right now, Texas and Alabama, right? We see Texas, they go into Tuscaloosa last year with the mad scientist Steve Sarkisian, Quinn Ewers, have a dynamic day. They knock off the Crimson Tide, and everybody expects, Texas is back. They make it to the college football football playoff and lose to Washington. But, you know, I've said this time and time again. It's one thing to run through the Big 12 where you're the big boys on campus. It's another thing, even though you knocked off in a one-game setting Alabama in their place, it's still very difficult to go from the start of the SEC schedule through the end and still be there undefeated or with one loss. And they still play Georgia in their house in October. It's a very difficult schedule for Texas. I'm not so sure the first year in the SEC they're going to be there in terms of the top two teams.
You know, I think I look at the defense at Georgia and Ohio State, and I think Texas is not quite there on that side of the ball. And when it gets to championship football, you got to be great on both sides of the ball. And so, although I've got them in that top four and maybe five teams that have a chance to really, odds-on favorite to win the championship, I think it's true. I think it's going to be because Georgia plays Texas during the season. Ohio State plays Oregon during the season. You're talking about a potential rematch for the national championship. I don't know if we'd like to see those, but that's got a great possibility because the best teams that we think are in the preseason are usually the best teams at the end of the season. But I want to say this. Of those top four teams or five, you know, the more I watch Dylan Gabriel, and I have studied all the top quarterbacks. So I think he who has the best quarterback, just like in the NFL, has the best national championship. And that guy, you know, I didn't get to watch him much because I was coaching last year and I did at Oklahoma. This guy is something really special, and I love the way he plays. And I'm very interested to see how Oregon is going to do, much like you mentioned Texas in the SEC. Oregon has just got, I mean, they could go out there and win that dadgum conference because of the number of players they got in the portal. Lenning came from Georgia, so he understands defense. He's a defensive coach, and a Saban and a Kirby Smart are defensive coaches, and you've got the same mentality at Oregon with a that's going to be interesting.
It is going to be interesting for Dylan Gabriel. 30 touchdowns, 4 interceptions last year, and knocked off Texas, gave them their only regular season loss. We'll come back with Coach Bowden and more college football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College football is back. AP Top 25 came out earlier today. We're joined by former head coach and current college football analyst Terry Bowden. We left off talking about the top five. Coach left off talking about Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel, one of the most athletic quarterbacks in college football. He's battle-tested. He's taken over for Bo Nix. Everybody raving about Bo Nix's performance over the Indianapolis Colts for the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix was one of the most prolific quarterbacks in all of college football last year. 45 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 78% completion percentage. Was the best, I believe, in FBS since they started the FBS. So think about that in terms of his progression over the past couple of seasons under Dan Lanning. Dylan Gabriel could be that guy. Coach, I know you have a couple of sleepers. One of them, everybody knows I'm a potential homer for the LSU Tigers, and everybody expecting a drop-off with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, and obviously Jaden Daniels moving on to the NFL. But Nussmeier and that offense have the ability to be humming this year. And Baker, Brent Baker and that defense, if they could elevate just a bit, I believe in Brian Kelly to potentially crack through in year number 3.
You got it all together. Now, you know, it was the over-under was 9.5, and it dropped down to 9, and I'm going with the over. I got to believe they're going to win 10 or 11, be in that playoff, and by the end, they may be good enough for all the reasons you mentioned. I mean, they don't play Georgia or Texas during the regular season. They play Alabama and Ole Miss at home, and they have an off week before both of those games that they're playing there. They've got the head coach, and every year, everywhere he's been, he's won 7 straight years, he's won 10 or more games, double digits. You can count the coaches on 2 or 3 fingers that have done that in the last 7 years. And he's always had a great third year. He knows how to be a head coach. He makes great decisions. His defense was horrendous last year. He brings in Blake Baker from Missouri, one of the best coordinators in the country. And I'm going to tell you this, a coordinator, it's kind of like chess. Some people can move the pieces around better than others. That's a fact. They don't fire defensive staffs if it's all about the Jimmys and Joes. It is about X's and O's, too. And I think Blake Baker can take the same talent and maybe a little bit better, and he can make them a much better defense. So the quarterback, Garrett Nussmeier, I think is going to be the next great one. Plays a little bit more like Joe Burrow's than Jaden Daniels. But you got to remember, their defense was so bad, Jaden Daniels put up stats just to win the games. If they had had a better defense, he might Heisman, because they would have played their backup a little bit more at the end. But I think they've got a great quarterback who is at LSU. Got number one, maybe one of the top offensive lines in the country. Receiver, Lacy's having a great preseason. And then Blake Baker changes that defense around. Everything's kind of shaping up to me. If you let the schedule just lays out right. I'm a big believer in Brian Kelly and what he's done in his history. He's at Central Michigan, at Cincinnati, at Notre Dame, and now here. In fact, he goes back to Grand Valley. Back, I used to play against those guys back in the day. And but I just think they're a team that they're going to be in the playoffs, and if they continue to grow and get better, they could be a sleeper to take it all.
Yeah, I agree with you. Again, they open with USC, then Nichols, mm-hmm. South Carolina, UCLA, South Alabama, that game against Lane Kiffin and Jackson Dart, and then you mentioned later in the year they play Arkansas, Texas A&M, Alabama in their house, Florida, Vanderbilt, and Oklahoma. So I agree with you. You're getting value at plus 125 to make the playoff. On the flip side, and I heard you mention, you know, coaching, and Brian Kelly knows how to be a coach. Kalen DeBoer does as well, with great success last year with Washington and Fresno State. But this is a different animal in Tuscaloosa. It's like taking over for Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. The pressure is on to win at all costs. We saw Brian Harsin on the plains in Auburn not last very long. They have a very tight window in Tuscaloosa. 9.5 wins in year number one could be a tough ask.
It is. I will tell you. So you have to see it. I was raised. I've coached at three universities in Alabama, and I've coached in the Iron Bowl five times. I've coached against them five times, and a national defending. My first year at Auburn, they were the defending national champions under Gene Stallings. You remember, Bear Bryant was the greatest coach of all time for 50 years. It took seven coaches to get to Nick Saban. And one of them, Gene Stallings, won a championship, and he still didn't last for 4 years. The pressure at Alabama, the people that they're going to be impatient. I mean, first year, if you don't win 10 or so the first year, they're going to say, what happened, you know? Now, I know Nick had a bad first year, but he had nothing going for him there. So I think DeBoer is the right coach. I think he's a great coach. But I'm saying is that is a different animal, and that's going to be the story. Not the players. The story is going to be the head coach at Alabama.
We'll come back with more college football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back. Let's go. On Carver and Lisi, college football is back. Top 25 is out. Coach Bowden is with us. We're talking LSU. We're talking Alabama. Let's sprinkle in some ACC. Coach, we know that Florida State and Clemson are the top of the conference.
Right.
But I saw the AP Top 25, and I almost jumped out of my chair because it's like the AP each and every year has to put certain teams, and you can make the argument that for years Texas was always thought of as a top 10 team prior to start cracking through. Last year, I looked this year, Miami at 19. Miami and Mario Big Chest, as I call him, Cristobal, 12 and 13 overall. I know he's got the transfer talent. Mike Elko in year one, I said, when's the last time Texas A&M won a national championship? They didn't do it with R.C. Slocum, Jackie Sheldon, Mike Sherman, Kevin Sumlin, and Jimbo Fisher. Well, I mean, all Aggie fans think is the second coming is coming here in College Station because there's optimism. How could we put these teams in the top 25 without, number one, a body of work, and number two, without a foundation to elevate to the next level? I mean, these coaches haven't done it in their respective programs yet.
Well, I mean, A&M, now the head coach did an incredible job at Duke. And Jimbo, you know, for whatever reason that didn't work out, he got players. There's players at Texas A&M. They're maybe the wealthiest program, the one or two top most wealthiest football programs in the country. So they can do whatever they have to do to build a football team. It's just, you keep thinking this has got to work. And I will say this, the right coach steps in to a program like Texas A&M, he's going to have a chance to win it all. And I was thinking Jimbo would be that guy. Things, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. So that's how I feel about the talent. The ability to win at Texas A&M ought to be sky high because of all the pluses they have going for them. Anybody that understands stadiums and money behind the program and the ability to get players and all those things that they have at Texas A&M, it's like Texas forever. They couldn't get it back in the top. After winning a national championship, they just couldn't get back up there on top. And I think right now they've got the right ingredient to get back there. But they've always had the ability. They just didn't have the right chemistry. Head coach, it's got to be a match of great program and great head coach, because a great head coach at an average program cannot win a national championship. And an average program and a great coach probably the same way.
Right, and it's almost like, you know, I feel like, you know, we talked about with the situation with Kalen DeBoer in Alabama, 9.5 in year one. They have an 8.5 win total for Texas A&M and Mike Elko in year one. I mean, you know, to Jimbo's point, he did get top five talent in terms of the recruiting base, but they never really won 10 wins. His best year came in the COVID year, where I believe he went 9-1 when he knocked off North Carolina in the bowl game. But the expectation in College Station is sky high, and there's no margin of error, it seems like, for Mike Elko in just his first year.
Well, I think they'll not. It won't be a panic situation his first year. And I believe when I see what Elko did at Duke, and I have to, and he's been at Texas A&M before. He was there before he went to Duke. And so I just think when they give you everything you want at a school like that, so some schools can do it. An LSU can do it. An Alabama can do it. An Ohio State can do it. When they give you everything you got to have to win, then you got to win. It's like, even Ohio State, and there's a game within the game. I mean, Dave's done an incredible job, but he hadn't beat Michigan. What would happen if he didn't beat Michigan? I mean, there's an expectation level at A&M and other places like that that you have to be a part of that program to understand that Texas A&M, they have to be able to contend for a championship again, and they're going to keep trying until they get it.
Right. No, great point. And to the other side, in regards to Miami, for years, even though Miami won a national championship with Larry Coker, that was the main reason why, even, you know, with the likes of the coaches that they had, including the great Mark Richt that was there, the facilities were never up to the likes of Alabama and to the likes of LSU and Texas A&M. And now Mario Cristobal was brought into his alma mater to change the mindset, to change the intensity. And we haven't seen that, and we're entering year three, right? He's got a 9.5 win total. Yeah. He's got potentially the best quarterback that he has had now in the program over the past 3 years. He doesn't get to at least 8 or 9 wins. Is it safe to say he's on the hot seat as well?
Well, I think they're going to be upset with it. They're going to be real upset with it. Now I think he played for a couple national championships when he played there as a player. So he's one of their own. But they lost games last year because of coaching. They made coaching decisions in games that lost a couple they should have won, and they would be right on track if they would have just done that. Now hopefully they made those corrections. I know Martinez at running back and Cam Ward is just got everybody talking down there about that. But they're probably one of those kind of sleepers too. But he's got to get that thing going. And I did a study once about the two teams with the most athletes. If you took a 50-mile radius around Southern Cal and around Miami, there's more Division I players coming out of that area than anywhere else. When you put the special head coach at Southern Cal, you get the right head coach at Miami, they are playing for championships. And you just don't know quite who that is, but you and I have been coaching and been in this business long enough. We remember when those things happened. It went back to Pete Carroll and Bouquet. There were so many great coaches that won championships at Southern Cal. Miami had a string that you just couldn't stop of winning it, because my dad lost about 3 national championship opportunities with a wide left against great Miami teams.
Yeah, it's a great point. And to your point about Lincoln Riley and USC, it came up. I didn't know if you saw his press conference when spring camp opened, but he's like, in media days, he said, hey, I'm not a magician. And my rebuttal to that was, hey, Lincoln, you're being paid like, you know, the great David Copperfield and David Blaine, you know, back on Las Vegas Strip when they're getting 10 and 15 million per show. You know, at the end of the day, it's put up or shut up, right?
Well, Go ahead. I mean, he's got to take defense seriously since he takes offense. He takes offense very seriously, but you got to take defense seriously if you're going to play for a championship. And they haven't played championship defense, and that's always going to be a problem with a guy that totally hangs his hat on a dynamic offense that wins with a system. You got to be careful because when it comes down to the top teams, they're playing great on the other side of the ball just as well, if not better.
You know, great point. And he brings over a UCLA defensive coordinator, Lynn, that comes over to help taking over for Alex Grinch. Here's my question in regards to USC. The expectation in the bar was almost similar to what we see with Kalen DeBoer taking over for Alabama, right? It's win a national championship. In the first couple of years, you have the best draft pick in regards to Caleb Williams. The sky is set. Pac-12 championship or bust. They win neither. They failed to win a Pac-12 championship, and they failed to get to the college football playoff. Now with a 7.5 win total and all the tempered expectations with 7.5 wins, this is a perfect opportunity for Lincoln Riley to potentially thrive with USC. Even though they're making the move to the Big Ten, this is an opportunity to overshoot the goals and overexceed and get to 9 or 10 wins.
Well, and they've got to. I mean, when you accept that, when you start getting that nearly $100 million contract, and Jimbo had to deal with that, because when you start making that kind of money, it's like you're going with your eyes wide open. I mean, they're not paying you that money to come in second. I don't care what conference you're in. You're getting paid to win it all. And if you don't, they got enough money to give it. They got enough money to buy it out too. But this is a type of year. Now even Lincoln kind of downplayed in the media days. He kind of downplayed. We got to still build, but that don't go over. That just doesn't go over at Southern Cal. You got to go out there and make it happen. That's why even I've said the Southern Cal LSU game. You mark it. It's a neutral site in Las Vegas. That is a huge opening game for both programs.
Oh, absolutely. There's, you know, right now, 6.5-point dogs. He has Miller Moss, you know, not as flashy potentially as Caleb Williams in regards to his physical intangibles, but he threw for 372 and 6 tutties against Louisville. So we'll see how it plays out. We're just getting started, baby.
College football is back.
Coach, always a pleasure. We'll talk more Major League Baseball coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Over. All these games over. Amazing. 9-8, the Guardians take care of business against the Cubbies. 9-8, 17 runs. Two overs that I was on, over Cards and Reds, 6-1. Reds take it, and 6-1, Astros take it. It's amazing. It was 5-1 in the third inning for the Astros. I had over 9. We couldn't get through. It's amazing. Lost by 2 runs over the 10.5, and the Reds dead loser in regards to that. They're underway in San Francisco. Top 1 right now, no score. Top 1, Padres and Pirates, no score. Go to the bottom of the first, no score. Rockies and Diamondbacks. Bases loaded? On the first and second for the Blue Jays. They got runners on, 2 outs, threatening here. See if they can crack through. Kirk is up. Not Christian Kirk, but Kirk. The Kirk man is up. Maybe he can break through. Yankees trail the White Sox 4-2. Runner on, top 5 for LeMahieu was up. I don't know what he did. Looks like he made out. Bottom 5 right now for the White Sox. Dodgers up 4-0 on the Brewers. So there's your Major League Baseball. I need some overs in the late night to keep it, I'd say, interesting. If not, the TV and everything's going off after the show. We'll just count them as losers. Hopefully we have some life after the the show, but Matias has been doing his fantasy football in between shows. I'm talking college football. He's asking me to pick out wide receivers. So you have questions regarding the NFL, Matias. So throw them at me. You want a rapid fire? Be my guest. It's that time of the year. The encyclopedia is ready to talk.
Well, yeah, first things first, I got some news today that the Minnesota Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, was pulled out of practice today with a sore knee. He did not practice today. Nothing was reported after their victory against the Raiders, where he played amazingly in. But what do you think of J.J. McCarthy and that knee issue? I think it can't be that. It can't, you know, is it minor? Is it major? Kind of weird to be sitting on a rookie.
I didn't look at the MRI, Matias. I don't know. You give me a report, I could eyeball it. I mean, you know, it's the first I'm hearing of it. I will say it's probably precautionary in regards to McCarthy. There's no rush to get J.J. McCarthy out there for week one. Would I get him out there sooner rather than later? Absolutely. I still think that if Sam Darnold shows that he can lead the offense, you put him out there in regards to that. There's a veteran wide receiver in terms of Justin Jefferson. You have Ty Chandler, Aaron Jones that comes over. Aaron Jones is still a productive running back. You want to talk about how productive Jones was at the end of the regular season, averaged 116.6 rushing yards per game, including a dynamic performance against the Cowboys, had a pretty good performance in the first half against the 49ers. He can catch it, he can run it. So with him and Ty Chandler, a rushing attack is very good to take the pressure off any quarterback that starts. But you still believe Minnesota, from a core foundation that was a 13-win football team 2 years ago, potentially can make a run, Matias. Why go with the kid when, I mean, again, you always want to get your kid, your young quarterback out there sooner rather than later. Like, if I'm New England, I don't want to send the old man Jacoby Brissett out. I want to roll out either Drake May or Joe Milton. I want to see what I have. You know, but for Minnesota, where at worst they could be a 7 or an 8-win football team, maybe, you know, if Justin Jefferson remains healthy and O'Connell could pull it out. I still think O'Connell's a terrible head coach as well. I think he's gutless. I used to like him, and then when they lost that playoff game to the Giants and Daniel Jones, he was dead to me. Absolutely did not utilize Dalvin Cook the right way. And then last year, once Kirk Cousins went down, even with Josh Dobbs, he was like a deer in the headlights with the calling of the offense. It was ridiculous. So for me, I'm not concerned about J.J. McCarthy. What's the rush to get McCarthy out there sooner? There's no rush.
How long do you think Sam Darnold plays until he gets benched? Like, do you think things go well in Minnesota for him to say, you know what, we might have our guy here with Sam Darnold? Or when do you think Justin Jefferson starts getting angry on the sidelines like he was last season? You know, because yeah, I think it's only a matter of time, right? But how many weeks do you give him?
Bad. Darnold didn't play all that. Look, I always thought that Sam Darnold was a better quarterback coming out of college. He got stuck in a bad situation with the Jets. I was wrong in terms of that assessment. But again, from what I saw last year with San Francisco and the tutelage of Shanahan, he looked more confident than throughout his career with the New York Jets. I'd say give him a shot. We've seen journeymen lead. We saw Joe Flacco lead the Cleveland Browns to the playoffs. What's wrong with Sam Darnold? You know, again, we keep talking about quarterbacks that they got to throw for 500 yards and you know, light it up. Yeah, that's Pat Mahomes. That's some of the good, great quarterbacks in the league. But as long as he can manage the game, throw for 230, 240, and not turn the football over, what is wrong with that as long as your team is winning ball games? I don't get it.
No, you make a good point, Joe. You know, winning solves everything. I do see some flair with the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, they have their new running back, like you mentioned earlier, with Aaron Jones coming from Green Bay. Green Bay, no more Aaron Jones, but who do they have now? Josh Jacobs. How do you think Josh Jacobs makes a transition from the Las Vegas Raiders to the Green Bay Packers? It seems like he's going to be the bell cow down there, only making that team a little bit more dangerous. And they have so many receivers. I don't want to say star-studded receivers, but man, are they well-balanced on the offensive end. With the receivers, you can name 4 receivers on the Packers right now that could all make an impact. You know, Wicks, Reed, Watson, and Romeo Doubs. Like, what do you think this Green Bay Packers team wins a division, but also could maybe get to the Super Bowl?
I already said that in last segment. I'm a believer in terms of the Packers. I have them plus 850. I'm a believer in Jordan Love, and I'm a believer in Matt LaFleur. And again, Josh Jacobs is more than an upgrade because he's one back that could maybe make up for both A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon, in terms of a big spot, failed to step up. I mean, for the size of the quads, this guy was unbelievable. He was like a deer in the headlights for much of his career. Amazing. Josh Jacobs is a significant upgrade. I think both the Green Bay Packers and L.A. Rams are live for potential dark horses in the NFC. We'll come back and wrap up hour number two, coming right back on Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pump it back on Carver and Lisi. Here we go. The overs are cracking through. Fear not. Over Minnesota and Kansas City, 8-3, top eight. In Minnesota, Royals trail by 5 runs. They lead off with a runner on first. 3 up in Boston, bottom 8, 1 out. Nobody on for the Red Sox. 5-2, the White Sox cracking the New York Yankees. They're cracking them. First and third, bottom 5, 2 outs for the White Sox. And 4-2 now. Dodgers lead the Brew Crew. So if you have the over 8.5, you have a stint of life there. You're 4-2, you got 6 in, you need 3, or you need 2 runs by the Brewers, and you can't lose that over 8.5. We left off talking about Jordan Love, and do I believe in Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs? Absolutely. Plus 850, the offensive foundation is there to have balance, especially if there's no major injuries. Injuries could always derail a current season. We know that. You lose your starting quarterback the way Kirk Cousins went down for potentially Minnesota. Even though he hasn't won a big game in the playoffs, it still could curtail a team's playoff aspirations. But Green Bay on paper is my best team in regards to the NFC North. I know Detroit's there. I know people are expecting Matt Eberflus and the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams to overexceed expectations, 8.5 win total. Let me just say this. If you've listened to me on Football Full Circle and obviously on this network, I am not a buyer of Matt Eberflus. He is, in my opinion, the human anchor. He could drag down any offense with one play call. The man is like the Dr. Evil of NFL football. Why win games 40-20 when you could lose them 17-13? That's Matt Eberflus in a nutshell. He's so scared to open things up that the play sheet absolutely shakes. What I find amazing, though, is that all of these teams are priced, no matter who you look at in the NFC, Eberflus, you look at, obviously Green Bay is deserving in the Lions. We talk about that. But all these other teams in regards, and I got to pull up the odds for the NFC. But you look at it, and I'll just go down the list. Green Bay, Dallas, Atlanta with Kirk Cousins. Rams, Chicago, Seattle, which... I explain that to me. Seattle and old man Geno Smith. Old man Geno, Mike McDonald, the new head coach, the supposed defensive wizard and mastermind, all of a sudden going to bring Seattle back to the days, the heydays of Kenny Easley and the crew. 25-1 the NFC, okay, championship. And you have a team in Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks. And Todd Bowles, call it what it is, they won the division 3 straight years. But you have a quarterback in Baker Mayfield that now got his money, $30 million a year. Averaged 289 passing yards per game for the last 7 or 8 games of the regular season. Oh, by the way, had a playoff win against Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. They cracked him right in the stones in regards to that matchup. I don't care that they were checked out and Jason and Kelsey was chugging beer. I'm going to go get my podcast, man. I don't care about playoff games. They cracked the Philadelphia Eagles, okay? And how that team is worth 35-1 in regards to an NFC championship behind the likes of Caleb Williams, behind the likes of Geno Smith, is absolutely mind-boggling to me. I don't care about the schedule. You're talking about a team that absolutely won a playoff game, went to the divisional round, and almost knocked off Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions, and a quarterback that has elevated his game to the next level. Love him or hate him, Baker Mayfield Mayfield's a gamer. How can they be 35-1, Mateus? How can they be 35-1? Can you tell me, please?
It's because of the Falcons, and they have all the juice right now. But I'm with you, Joe. The Bucs are going to be a scary team. I'm with you, though. It's going to be tough. The Falcons the Bucs will beat the Falcons to knock them out of the playoffs pretty much last year, going down the stretch in the season. So, the Bucs do have the Falcons' number right now. I got to admit, they went 1-1 last year. But, Baker Mayfield's been playing some good football, especially down the stretch. Mike Evans has been an automatic machine, a 1,000-yard monster every single year. Does that finally stop this season? Do you think Mike Evans finally hits that wall?
No. Why? Why? Do we think that about Devontae Adams? Do we think about any of the other aging wide receivers? No. Mike Evans, all he does is step up and have 1,000-yard performances each and every year, and he's got something cooking with Baker Mayfield. We'll carry this over tomorrow night. Carver will be back for Hipper Bell. I'm Jalisi. Carver will be back tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night.